You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sanz, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today are Holly Cobb and Javier Segovia. They are here representing the Tom Lee Institute, and something exciting kicking off this coming week. October is already on Tuesday, and it'll be Tom Lee Month. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the events that will be taking place throughout the month. But first of all, Holly, Javier, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Louis. Let's start with you first of all. Holly, tell us a little bit about the Tom Lee Institute.
Well, the Tom Lee Institute was actually founded in 2009, and it was a result of Adair Margo's having recorded Tom Lee's oral history. And she understood that Tom Lee was so extraordinary as both an artist and a writer, and a man who loved his hometown more than anything. He could have lived anywhere else in the world, but he chose to live and work in El Paso. And so the Tom Lee Institute is dedicated to spreading the love and the admiration for the culture and the history of this borderland region, and then also along the Tom Lee Trail, which are significant sites in New Mexico and Texas related to Tom Lee and his work.
And one of the things that I know has brought Tom Lee to life as well was a lot of books here at UTEP and some of his artwork hanging around various parts of the university. And then last year, I believe, there was an exhibit at the Centennial Museum here,
right,
letting us know a little bit about Tom Lee. And one of the things that stood out, as I got some comments from some of the people who have gone, were the fact that they didn't know how tragic it had been for Nancy, his wife, and how she died from a botched appendectomy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a poignant story, because he met Nancy at the when he attended the Chicago Art Institute, and she was a fellow student. A very beautiful woman. They fell madly in love, were married, and went off to Europe and did the grand tour for Italy and France in particular, because they were both wonderful artists and writers. And then they actually decided to settle in Santa Fe on Fremont Ellis's property and built just kind of a little simple home that they, you know, were in love and young and had this wonderful life together. And she got appendicitis and was operated on up in Santa Fe, and it just never healed correctly. So they came home to live with his father at first in El Paso, and she lived for a while, but eventually succumbed to, I guess it was infection from the appendectomy. And that was absolutely heartbreaking for Tom Lee. I mean, he felt things so very deeply. And there are even photos that are just, you can see the grief on his face. But at that time, he said his work was his salvation. He was actually beginning to work on the Pass of the North mural at his studio in the Hills Building in downtown El Paso. And the Pass of the North mural is, of course, his crown jewel. He says that he enjoyed working on that more than anything else. And that's located here in El Paso at the old federal courthouse. And we actually offer tours if anybody ever wants to know more about the mural.
And one of those pictures, I think his wife Nancy, and that dress that he took painstakingly a lot of time.
Right.
Different individual brush strokes. And I mean, there's a big history behind
picture. I can tell you about that. That was actually his second wife, Sarah.
Yes, excuse me.
And he had two great loves in his life. The first was Nancy. The second one was Sarah. And Sarah, he met here in El Paso. She actually was a divorcee and had a young son. And he just fell madly in love with her over the dinner table and invited her to come and see his Pass of the North mural that he was working on, you know, come and see my mural, to try to impress her. And she fainted. We actually have a movie that we show about that. It's called An Awkward First Date. And he proposed to her on the first date. So mm-hmm. She was a little reticent at first, but she very quickly realized what an incredible guy Tom was. So the story about that dress, well, Tom went off to be the first embedded artist correspondent for World War II. He was hired by Life magazine. And he traveled over 100,000 miles during World War II, and during that time, he carried this really beautiful photo of Sarah in his pocket the whole time, would look at it longingly. And then when he finally came home from the war, after working and traveling the entire war when the United States was in the war, and he came home, and in order to get the war out of his mind, he just came home and painted the thing that he loved the most, which was Sarah. And he spent many hundreds of hours just painting the flowers on this beautiful dress. And it's actually the dress she was wearing in the photo. And we just love that. And he said that was just incredibly therapeutic for him. You know, a lot of people come home from the war and, you know, they suffer from PTSD. Well, this is how Tom began to reconcile the war in his own mind by coming back to the place he loved and painting the woman that he loved more than anything else.
You did a much better job of describing it than I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Javier Segovia is also with us. Javier is a graduate student, and he's here to tell us a little bit about his involvement with the Tom Lee Institute. Javier?
So, yes, I am a graduate student. I actually graduated last May with my bachelor's in history, and I was actually an intern at the Tom Lee Institute, and I was lucky enough to join the team, and it's been really exciting since then. I'm actually the collections and education manager at the Tom Lee Institute. So it's a lot of hands-on at the Institute, which is a lot of great experience for me, and I've been having a great time there.
Tell us what you do as the head of the collections.
Yeah, so we actually have a lot of Tom's artwork, and we also collect a lot of his we have his drafting table there that was given to us. We have a lot of his old photographs, and we also have a digital library there, actually. So it's pretty great, and it's up with technology. Like, we're able to send images to everyone around the world, and we're able to share Tom's art like that.
You mentioned earlier, Holly, about when he went overseas, and I think when he was in the Pacific is when he did a lot of his paintings, and mm-hmm. There are several books out there that mm-hmm. feature the artwork specifically of World War II, but this was something that he wanted to let people know. Look, this is what it looks like right. to be in war.
Yes, Tom said that, you know, there were a lot of artists who were artist correspondents. They would go and paint bombed out buildings or other aspects of the war. That there were very few artists that actually put themselves in harm's way and painted the reality. And Tom Lee, there was an exhibition done of Tom and other Life magazine artists' art after the war, and Tom's art was the only art that ever showed a shot being fired. And it was actually relatively controversial because his art is in many ways very, very graphic about the injuries that soldiers suffered. For example, The Price, where a soldier's body is blown up and it's just half of its blood. It's very, very graphic. That 2,000-yard stare, which is the iconic image for PTSD and many, many others. He really showed the horror of war in a way that also exemplified the courage of those involved. And so he was very unusual in that he really wanted to tell the truth about what he saw. He didn't embellish it. He didn't try to make it more dramatic, less dramatic, romantic, more horrific. He really wanted to highlight the heroism and the price that our military officers and soldiers paid for the war. And he also worked with virtually every branch of the military, the Army, the Marines, and the Navy in particular, and the Air Force. And so he depicted all different aspects of the war and everybody who was involved. And he traveled over 100,000 miles. He traveled his first tour was kind of the North Atlantic, and then he did the South Pacific. He also went to China, which is very unusual. Mm-hmm. And then he also went to Peleliu, where they were doing the island hopping campaign to get toward Japan. And so he was there with the 1st Marine Division and actually landed on Peleliu. And we actually have a video that we're going to be showing on a TV show we're doing on the 15th of October of Marine Manny Rivas and his twin, who are both El Pasoans, and it's their account of landing on Peleliu, what that was like as 17, 18-year-old young men going and landing in the most bloody battle of World War II. The casualties were higher than anything else. It was really horrific. And Tom landed with the Marines on the island. And one of our Tom Lee Month programs is going to be by Claudia Rivers, who's right here at UTEP, and she's the head of the Special Collections. She's going to be talking about Tom's book, Peleliu Landing, which she has a lot of the original copies of the book. It was printed by Carl Herzog, who was also associated with UTEP, and then also his book, Grizzly on the Coral Sea. And that was another one about his war experiences. And his writing is on par with Steinbeck and Hemingway at the time. He was actually on the bestseller list with Steinbeck and Hemingway. How many artists do you know who can not only paint the way Tom Lee painted and write the way he wrote? I can't think of any. He's truly extraordinary. And so he is truly someone that we need to celebrate in this region because he really highlights so many of the wonderful historical aspects.
We're visiting with Holly Cobb and Javier Segovia with the Tom Lee Institute. We're talking about Tom Lee and in particular Tom Lee Month, which kicks off in October, just a few days away. One of the things I remember when I was, I guess it was middle school, that I first got my interaction with Tom Lee was reading The Brave Bulls.
Oh, of course.
And later on was I to know that, wow, this guy was right here in El Paso.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about his fascination with bullfighting and bulls.
Well, Tom Lee, being raised here on the border, his father was the mayor of El Paso during the Mexican Revolution. So he grew up going to the bullfights and sort of training to be a bullfighter, although he didn't really train to be a bullfighter. But there are actually pictures of him in our collection of him pretending to be was he either the bull or the bullfighter? I don't remember which one it was.
Maybe
but,
both.
Yeah. And so Tom always loved bullfighting, and he really studied it. But after the war, his first novel was The Brave Bulls. He decided to put down the brush for a while, although he didn't ever really put it down, but in terms of a major way, and concentrate on writing because he felt that there were things he could communicate in writing that he couldn't communicate in his pictures. And so we actually have a wonderful presentation about this. It's at the El Paso Museum of History, and if people go to tomlee.com, they can see all of the details about the events we're going to talk about. But this, it's going to be Courage in Death, How Tom Lee Used Bullfighting to Deal with the Concept of Facing Death with Courage, because he saw that so much during the war. And Jose Mario Sanchez is not only going to talk about that, he's an expert on bullfighting. He's from Juarez, lives in Juarez, and he's a historian. And then Jose Mario is also an opera singer. And so at the museum, a history museum, he's not only going to give this presentation where he's going to talk about how Tom Lee worked through the whole issue of facing death with courage through the concept of bullfighting and the matador and him regaining his courage in the story of the Brave Bulls. And he's going to sing songs from World War II. And so I didn't know this, but Jose Mario said, yes, Holly, you didn't know this, but World War II was the golden era of Mexican music. And so we're going to have an accompanist. I think he's from UTEP. He's the chair of the music department, I think. And then Jose Mario is going to sing, and you're going to have this presentation. And it's incredible. Again, Tom dealt with his own trauma from what he experienced in the war by first painting Sarah in the Summertime, that wonderful, wonderful painting we just referenced, and then secondly by writing The Brave Bulls. And it's from those two experiences that he began to process and understand his own feelings about the young men that he saw die so courageously and face certain death in many instances.
Javier, tell us a little bit about your interest in Tom Lee. Did you know much about Tom Lee before you did the internship there, or was it when you were there that you started getting interested in digging up more stuff on your own?
I actually didn't know much about him. It was through my internship that I actually found more about him, but I felt a strong connection once I was able to find out who he really was. And he represents this region and everyone that has came through here and who still is here very well through all of his art and all of his writing. So I think he does a very good job of representing this region and representing us.
Well, I mentioned Tom Lee Month, which kicks off October 1st. But correct me if I'm wrong, Holly, but actually, it's been Tom Lee Month every month, right? Because you all are always doing stuff.
We are always doing things. And that's one of the problems that we grapple with is we pack so much into Tom Lee Month, we're thinking, well, maybe we need to spread these things out a little bit because people have other things to do as well as go to our events. So we're hoping that people will look at the incredible over 30 events that we have planned. And there's really something for everyone. There are events for children and families. Like, for example, the library is going to be hosting an art activity every single branch in the library on a Saturday, October, I think it's 5th, and just go to your local branch and you can engage in an art activity. So look that up on our website, tomlee.com. We also have a Living History Day that's going to be at Fort Bliss on November 2nd. Unbelievable. We're going to actually reenact Tom's first commission, if you will, for World War II. Tom Lee said, World War II came riding up to my studio door and placed a foreshadowing finger on my easel. And that was written 10 months before Pearl Harbor. So we weren't even in the war yet. And Tom was asked by Life magazine to cover preparations for war. And so his first, it was actually a charcoal, was a cavalry soldier. And so we're going to be reenacting the cavalry soldier riding up to Tom Lee, who is Dr. Thomas Berkner, who's a UTEP a professor of art and a painter, and he's going to be sitting at his easel in the role of Tom Lee, and he's going to be doing the charcoal that Tom Lee did of that cavalry soldier. So that's going to be a little reenactment at the Living History Day, and then we're also going to have that original charcoal donated for this event, not permanently, by Carl Green, and he actually owns it here in El Paso. So we have the El Paso Symphony Orchestra. We're doing a multimedia presentation. We have a B-36 hike, only for those who are pretty in shape hikers. That's the B-36 bomber actually crashed into the mountain. And then later on, we're doing in conjunction with Celebrate Our Mountain, is another hike up to the other side, the east side of another airplane that crashed into the mountain during World War II. So those are all on our website information. So we're just very excited because we have a poetry slam that's going to be aimed at UTEP and EPCC students or anybody who fancies themselves as a poetry writer and speaker. And we have just all kinds of incredible events with the Holocaust Museum. We're actually going to bring a new art form to El Paso. It's with the art. It's called a live cinema performance. And so we've worked with Morgan Barnard, the artist, and he is going to be doing it's kind of a media production film, but not exactly. And then the audience can bring in artifacts or pictures of loved ones, and those will be incorporated into the live cinema. And then it'll be a permanent record for the History Museum or for the Holocaust Museum and those who – it will be a permanent record for the Holocaust Museum and those who want to access that on their website. So you just have to kind of go to our website and look at all the different activities. We've targeted every single kind of interest and age group that so that we can help them to understand and begin to see El Paso through Tom Lee's eyes, which is a pretty extraordinary experience. Yeah, and it's really great because our library is really does an incredible job. And so at the main branch of the library, they actually have a theater. And it's not like, you know, watching a movie in elementary school for those of us who they actually have a theater, a big screen with surround sound, and it is a theater experience. So every Wednesday and Sunday afternoon, they have a great movies that we couldn't actually print the name of the movies in them because there's licensing issues through the city of El Paso. But if you call or if you read the description, I'll bet you can guess which movie it is. So that's every Wednesday afternoon, and every Sunday afternoon there's going to be a feature film free of charge shown at the main branch of the library downtown.
You want to talk with a little bit about
some of
the other things?
Sure. I think the most one that I'm excited for is actually the one on October 3rd, which is the date night at Fort Bliss. It is a 21 and over event, but there's going to be wine and hors d'oeuvres, and we're going to do pottery making at Old Fort Bliss. So it's going to be really exciting, actually. It is a ticketed event, but I think if you bring your sweetheart or your best friend, I think we would have a lot of fun. I know it's going to be really exciting.
Javier's going to be there.
Yes, for
so
sure.
So this is going to be something, again, that you get the audience involved, and not just we're so used to going to exhibits where don't touch, don't get near. And when you make it a little bit interactive, it involves everybody.
Right. Yes, it's very and for everyone from all age ranges. So I think that should be very great about this Tom Lee month.
You mentioned earlier, Holly, about his dad being the mayor of El Paso. And I read somewhere, I remember one of the history books, where Tom Lee Jr. And his brother were always messing around and having fun with the mayor's friends, especially the officers from Fort Bliss would go over and they would get to wear his hat or her hat.
There's a lot of wonderful stories about that. And he, when Tom recounts that when he was, because Tom would have been, he would have been about 10 years old during the Mexican Revolution when his father was mayor. And so he was very keenly aware of the challenges that his father faced during that time, because it was a very difficult time. But as a young man, as a young boy, Tom was ill, and he, I think it was General Pershing, had some sort of a parade, and they sort of diverted the parade to go by Tom Lee's home, and Tom was able to watch the parade from his window. So it was some very, cool experiences. And he actually got to go out to Fort Bliss one time and, hang out with the soldiers, and they would, were very kind to him and would let him wear his hat or what have you. So, Tom had a real love for the military and always had a wonderful relationship with Fort Bliss and the military.
The painting that you mentioned earlier, Paseo del Norte, is that the same one that President Bush had in the White House when he was there?
That's a great question. And, the El Paso del Norte is a mural. It's, really 11 by 52. So it's on the wall of
the federal courthouse.
Right. President Bush had the Rio Grande painting in his office, and it hung there for 8 years. And he used to quote Tom's quote about living on the east side of the mountain. Sarah and I live on the east side of the mountain, the sunrise side of the mountain, the side of the day that has come, not the sunset side about the day that has gone. The work to be done, the eyes wide open and the heart grateful. That's kind of a paraphrase, but that's essentially the quote. And, Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, worked in the White House under George Bush for several years and heard him quote that many times. He heard President Bush make that quote many times. And so when he became Supreme Court Justice, his chief clerk reached out to our office and asked if we could provide them with a very high quality print of the Rio Grande, because he wanted it to establish the tone for his chambers. And so we had that made and provided that for him. They paid for it, which was very nice. And then also they had it framed and put that quote under it. And so I actually got a personal note from Justice Kavanaugh thanking us for that painting or reproduction of that painting and how much he enjoys it hanging there in his office and thinks of Tom Lee.
Mm-hmm. As far as the books go, do you think, and this is my opinion, that I think the 2,000-Yard Stare is perhaps one of the most popular books because it has some of that, a lot of that great artwork?
Yeah, the 2,000-Yard Stare by Mac Greeley is definitely the definitive book about World War II, because a lot of it is comprised not only of the paintings and drawings and photos, but also the his diary that he kept during World War II. So you actually read his words about what his art as well as his experience. Our latest publication in that regard is Life magazine, Tom Lee in World War II. And it's not as comprehensive, but it's a very beautiful book that we just published a couple years ago, and it was based on an exhibition that was held at the National Museum of the Pacific War and then went on to the National World War II Museum. And now we have that exhibition with some expansion right here at the El Paso Museum of Art. And so I would encourage people to go and see that exhibition. It's free of charge to get into the Museum of Art, and it is phenomenal portrayal of Tom Lee's World War II art, over 30 paintings and drawings and photos and that kind of thing. They've done a spectacular job.
Where is the Tom Lee Institute located?
We're downtown, actually, in the San Jacinto Plaza 1 building or the old Chase Bank building. We're actually on the first floor, and people can come by. We'll show them our collection and talk to them about Tom Lee, and if they'd like a tour of the Pass of the North mural or the Southwest mural, which is the Pass of the North mural was one of the first murals Tom did. The Southwest mural was actually the last mural that he did. It was housed in the library and was moved over to the History Museum, beautifully reinstalled there. It's the only mural that he ever did with someone else, and that someone else was Sarah, his wife. Mm-hmm. He allowed her to work on it. A lot of muralists, especially during the New Deal, had apprentices doing, you know, parts of their mural. Tom never let anybody touch his murals except for himself, and he always did everything a la prima, which was he took the paint from the tube, used a 1/8 inch brush, and applied the paint, and as a result, his murals stand out and are more spectacular than almost any other New Deal mural. Robert Caro said that it was arguably one of the finest New Deal murals, and he did the Southwest mural in the same way. He was a trained classical muralist, which very few artists were at that time or are even now.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today and to share some of this information with us. We've been visiting with Holly Cobb and Javier Segovia with the Tom Lee Institute, talking about Tom Lee Month. If you want to find out more information about the activities that Holly and Javier were talking about, you can go to tomlee.com. That's TOMLEA.com. Again, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Seth Van Mater. Our producer is Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.